Hi, this is Ed speaking. I hope none of you are old enough to remember this name. You're listening to the 72 show. I hope you enjoy.
Hello and welcome to the 72 show. I'm your host, Anthony Kendrick, and I'm joined tonight by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And our guest this week is Matt Hamshaw.
Hi, good evening.
Are you well, Matt?
Yeah, very good, thanks.
I'll let Nick, I know Nick's got a few questions he wants to ask you, so I'll let Nick ask away.
Yeah, hi, Matt. I thought I'd start off with your sort of days I can sort of remember, because I remember seeing you play once before for Mansfield Town in the FA Cup against Brighton. And it was a time when Mansfield were really sort of struggling in their sort of in their career. I think they're in their bottom of league two, and I think there was a lot of trouble with the owners, sort of thing. And obviously we see God knows how many clubs these days where you hear sort of fans protesting against the owners. I mean, Blackpool, Charlton, and Coventry are the three that spring to mind. So what's it like playing in that sort of environment?
Well, to be honest with you, as a player, you don't really think about it that much. You can imagine while the game's going on, it's more in and around training. When you're getting fans coming up to you, etc. It's not massively influential in games, but obviously there's always kind of that atmosphere around a club when you're going through that period of time. And it can be done both ways, to be honest. Sometimes as a player, you tend to shout about, but on the other side, you know, when it's not great, it can take the pressure off you as a player, is probably as bad as that sounds.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Just due to the fact that obviously the negativity is surrounded around the football, but more by what's going on off the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with Mansfield, I think he did actually get relegated that year. And it was sort of, you did have a good FA Cup run, and sort of when it's sort of when you're sort of struggling in the league, it can be sort of you see that quite often with some sort of clubs, you sort of struggle in the league, but then they get on the FA Cup run. What's sort of the difference of sort of teams getting up for the cup, and then why can't they sort of get up for the league games? If that makes sense.
I suppose if you got that right, you'd be earning a lot of money in management. I genuinely believe that it's probably because I think when you're involved in a league campaign, it's the same every week. When something different comes along as a cup competition or something different where there's not that same pressure on points, it's sometimes when we have a young team that season, I think that it kind of releases the pressure. As probably as daft as that sounds, we're playing by far better team than we would have done in League Two. But yeah, obviously we beat Brighton. Well, we played Middlesbrough and we were in the game when they were and John Stewart Darrell and that team. But the lads almost embraced it a little bit.
And
it was almost like the pressure of League Two was at that point. I mean, you're looking at Jake Buxton went on and obviously went to Derby, Wigan. Alex Baptiste was obviously still playing, but we're playing Premier League. Charles Croker went to Sheffield Wednesday. Stephen Dawson the Balding brothers, obviously, myself in that team. We had quite, in terms of potential and ability, they were a good group of players, but probably just didn't come together at the right time in terms of our career. A lot of young players, a little bit of an experience. I'm a big believer that to become a professional footballer, you have to be talented anyway. I know people are up on about somebody's not good or whatever else, or he's had a rubbish game, but he's not there because he's rubbish, he's there because he's done it consistently over his youth career, etc., and he's playing professional football. So it can become a little bit difficult at times. There's different things going off in different players' lives at that point in time.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, the chemistry doesn't work, and like I said, I'm currently coaching and I'm not looking to get in management, but that might be something that comes later down my career, and that's one thing that you certainly ask yourself on your experiences as a player, and what made you tick and what didn't type thing.
Yeah, sure. Sort of moving away from answers, sort of a bit, sort of rewind your career a bit. You start off your senior career at Sheffield Wednesday, if I'm right in saying. Sort of, what was it like, sort of coming through such a big club? Obviously, I know they're in the Championship and they've been out of the Premier League for a while, but they're still, we say on the show a lot, they're still one of the biggest clubs in the country, Sheffield Wednesday. Sort of, what's it like, sort of walking out of Hillsborough in your home games? It's just a huge amount of pressure every game. Sort of, what's it sort of like, or what was it sort of? I should say.
It was absolutely brilliant. I mean, for a young player to go out in and play in front of 25,000 to 30,000 every week is something that obviously you want from a young age. Again, some players around that time I come through couldn't handle that pressure like I've just been speaking about. Whereas I fully embraced it. I couldn't wait to get out there. It was almost like the more fans, the better. You know, the bigger the game, the more I wanted to play. And I know it sounds a little bit crazy, that's what I'm going to say, but some players, like, the pressure becomes too much, and they almost go into freeze a little bit, you know, which happens in life generally, but it's still in that environment. But in terms of me coming through as a young player, it was what I always wanted. I was lucky that at that point in time, we had some really top pros. I mean, Des Walker was still there, Vin Young was still there when I was there, the cameo were there when I was younger. And you had like your Andy Booth, Peter Atherton's, Richard Crest, Rich Humphries, who were younger players than it, and helped me come through. But you had a lot of experience and a lot of people giving you your advice, which were crucial in my development. But not only that, kind of pushed me on in training and games to kind of want that every week. It was difficult enough getting in the team. So once you were in, you wanted to stay in, and I think that almost helped me a lot.
Yeah, sure. You went to Stockport after Sheffield Wednesday. With Stockport, and sort of, I know obviously you weren't young, been playing there since 2005-2006, but with Stockport, it's a bit of a funny club. Sort of 1 minute they're sort of at the top end of League One. Now they find themselves in sort of the in the conference. I don't know, sort of used to have any connection with Stockport, but sort of. Do you know any more what sort of happened there, and how big the downfall was there?
I just think it's probably a club who I think what happened to Stockport may well happen to a lot more clubs, just due to the fact of Premier League money, etc. You're trying to compete at a certain level, and almost when you're on a little bad run. I mean, when I got to Stockport, I loved it. Chris Tennant, now my old manager, Chef Wednesday.
Yeah,
and Jim Gannon come, and when we had a big game, big crowds come. So it's always been a well supported club. But I just think the area it's in, almost the relegations, listen, it never helped anybody. They had a couple of promotions after I left, and I was really pleased for them. But then it's almost like a snowball effect. And obviously, the less crowds you get in, the less money you've got. More of the guys kind of self finance, you get cheaper players, without being disrespectful to anybody, but budget, you can't extend your budget, you can't bring more players in. And then once you're in that, well, as you see, being with draft and others in England, it's really hard to turn that around once it's that little habit, even though the new players are some people still around the club. And I think that's certainly the case for Stockport. I mean, I really hope that they come back up through the league, because I do believe they should be in Football League, but it's easily said then done. And you almost feel like I said, I don't want to keep harping on, but the Premier League money now is massive at the top. These clubs who have always struggled lower down, once you do go out to the league, I mean, the conference is ridiculously tough to get out of now. But
absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
It's treacherous, really. You've got to get 100 odd points to come back up in a league, and only one goes up automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my friends obviously were at Forest Green last year, and a lot of them was told that they finished second by Country Mile and ended up not going up, and you just got to show how tough it is to get out of that league.
Yeah, we've mentioned the conference on here quite often. We did actually mention it with Forest Green a bit last year about how tough the conference is to get out of. It is, say, you just do not want to drop out of the Football League, because the conference these days is like an extra football, it's like another football league, really, with the amount of full-time clubs in that league as well.
Yeah, he's full of clubs, but also the young players now, because there's that many young players in and around academy teams who don't make it at that level in Premier League, Championship.
Yeah.
They all flood out into their league. Because you see Rivardas, etc., and the list is on people who've dropped into Conference and Conference North, even South, and come back through and played top level. It's not that they've not been good players, it's just that they've not really had that opportunity. I think that the Conference, it's Conference North, Conference South now, they're really good young players, and it's
Yeah, sure. No, I would say it's, I think the standing on league has gone up a whack, really, since about 10 years ago. So obviously, we've already discussed Mansfield, but after you left Mansfield, went to Notts County. I think that was the year when Mansfield did actually get relegated. How did that sort of come about then? Because I mean, there was quite a few of you that left Mansfield, obviously, you, both the Boldins, and yeah, obviously the other players we mentioned earlier as well. And it's not Mansfield. So how did that move sort of come about?
Well, basically, there were quite was interested in me, like you said, we had the FA Cup run. But I had Tommy Johnson, who was at Notts County at the time, who were a first team coach. I played with him at Sheffield Wednesday, and he called me and just said, I'd really like to get the guy on there, Kevin. And I just had to have it kind of delayed for a few weeks, but it would cost my young family and my wife, etc., etc. It just felt right when I went there. And I had a good first season. I got player of the season. And obviously, the second season, I got promoted. But it was probably my favourite season, because I don't think I played near enough as I probably should have done. But in terms of a season that I'll probably never forget in my career, with Stengar and Ericsson, Tor Group, Sol Campbell, etc., it's probably the year that I'll never ever forget.
Yeah. Well, obviously, then I saw you were at Macclesfield, Arknotts County. But then, after Macclesfield, you dropped to sort of Matlock Town. So, I see that quite a lot of players. They were at a full time club, and then they seem to just go on the. We had Gary Alexander on last week, and we sort of asked him a similar question. We went from sort of Burton Albion to Greenwich Borough. How did that sort of happen with you then, when you sort of at the full time club of Macclesfield, and then to the. Presumably they are part time in Matlock Town. The decision behind that?
Well, I'd left Macclesfield Town and I'd been on trial at Bradford and nothing kind of evolved from that. And you almost become in this state of, well, nobody's really picking the phone up. You can't, obviously, you've got a wife and kids, you've got mortgages, etc. And you need to earn some money, basically. I was still coaching at the time, which is what I'm doing now at Rotherham United, but obviously that were only part time, so I needed to bring some income in. So I ended up going down to an old lady, and truthfully, yeah, I didn't really enjoy it. I was lucky enough to play that you just said with some good players in Chilt League, and when I went to that level, it wasn't that I thought I was too good for it or anything like that. You get caught in between a bit of a rock and hard place, because you want to keep playing. Everybody tells you you need to keep playing as long as you can, but when you're kind of not enjoying it, you should be enjoying it. And I'm a massive football fan. I watch every game that's on telly.
Yeah.
I'm an absolute sports addict. And to get that, you know, it just didn't feel right. When I went to Stocksbridge, where one of my friends were, and I played there, just kind of really the favour to him. He just said, "Oh, would you come and be great?" So I went. I come in on Saturday night, and usually I'm in and I'm buzzing. You know, you've played a game of football, and I kind of didn't have that feel. And it was a difficult stage for me, if I'm going to be honest with you. Plus, obviously, you want to keep playing as long as you can. And even now, when I play five-a-side, etc., here and there, really, really enjoy it. I've got that back, but at that point, I just don't know what happened. It didn't feel like it had done in all of the other games that I played.
Yeah.
Training-wise in my career.
Yeah, no, that's interesting to know. So you get a lot of sort of different answers when you ask sort of players about that. Like with Gary, which is he wants to retire from playing football and went to Greenwich. But no, it's sort of interesting to hear about about the sort of time for now I'd love the game. Final question for, before we move on is away from the player side of things. Us in our coaching at Rotherham, how's that all going then for you?
Yeah, it's really, really good. I'm loving it, as I've just said about loving football. I look for me, there's no great thing than seeing young players trying to come through and trying to kind of put them on straight, and there are the things that probably you might have not done right or a little bit trend right. You can give the information you give. I've always been passionate about coaching you from the England youth days, etc. When I had some really good coaches, we used to watch and study, and as sad as it is, it always interests me. Not every player can probably say that, and I think a lot of players come out of the game and just go into coaching because they don't want anything else. But it was always one thing that kind of really intrigued me. I'd always ask my coach why he'd done that, or from a real young age. And I got into coaching at when I was about 26, 27 while I was still playing. Did my badges through to my A license, obviously, now. And then an opportunity come at Rotherham where I'd oversee the 12 to 16s, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And now I'm head of academy coaching where I kind of oversee the programme and take the 18s. So it's really, really enjoyable. It's really satisfying. And it's nice to kind of give something back, you know, as the game has been great for me. And now if it's been out, some of the young players, obviously, you've got a job to do to try and get professional contracts through. Thing, but if you can give a little back and can see players develop and kind of learn lessons that probably I did, and I'm passing that advice, and is really, really good.
Yeah, no, of course. Sounds very very good at Rotherham. But with Rotherham, obviously, it's been a struggle in the Championship this year. Do you think they can stay up?
Yeah, I think they can stay up. I think that I've got the right in charge now, I'm sure. We have seen strides of improvement, and I'm sure that will continue. Obviously, it's difficult now because there's no transfer window or time to go out and bring players in that up until January. So you're seeing it at the minute, really, a lot of new management make probably changes at this moment in time, whereas I think all the previous season managers have come in and got three or four, or even signed up for players, like different kind of the squads that they've got. And I do think it's probably caught a lot of clubs by surprise, this transfer. I don't think they're aware of it, but nobody really knew how it next season would probably be a big turn. The squad's probably been bigger. I know you might find that hard to believe, but I think that you need that squad, and if you don't have that squad, it can be difficult.
Yeah, sure. I think that's all the questions from me. I'll hand it back over to Anthony.
Yeah, I've just got a couple of questions I want to ask. What was it that made you pick Rotherham? Was there something that made you want to go to Rotherham as a club, or did you just sort of end up there?
No, obviously, Rotherham's where I've been born and brought up, and kind of first few games with that took me to Rotherham United, so I've always had a fondness of Rotherham, and then kind of got into the coaching side too. Another one of my friends who said they were looking for coaches, he was part-time coaching now at Rotherham at that time, so I went down and just really, really enjoyed it. I've also had an interest in it. I had two cruciate knee ligament injuries, and my wife's a PE teacher, so while I were off, I went in and coached some of their kids, etc., and just really, really enjoyed it. And obviously, it's a local club to me, and that's where I kind of come up through. I know I'm Chef Lindsay Bell was at Long. As a child, and kind of chose to go to Chef Wednesday at that point, just because of the size of the club. But Rotherham's been close to my heart, and kind of probably the first club about followed as a young lad, and went down there and many a Saturdays and watched them as a young kid coming up. So obviously it's nice. As I said earlier, taking it back to the local area, but obviously it was basketball as a young lad, so see the strides that the club's made obviously in recent years. I know it's tough at the minute at the time of the Championship, but you'd much rather be bottom of the Championship than mid-table in League 2, which is where we were when I first came in. So again, the club of the stadium and the strides it's made has been fantastic.
I just want to pick up on something you said, Sheffield Wednesday with the size of the club. Is that when you're recruiting players, is that something that can be a problem with all the local, you know, the competition with local clubs?
For us, looking at local talent, yeah, it can be. Yeah, it can be difficult. But as you've seen now, in the news, etc., you've seen a lot of young players now moving on to other clubs. We've had a few lads who've moved on to Premier League clubs from our academy system, and it kind of goes under the radar. But that's happening more and more. So it's not only the local clubs that we're competing against, but you know, your bigger Premier League clubs now are the scout more or less at every other youth team game that you have, from 9s to 16s all the way up. And they're obviously striving to get the best local talent, English talent that they can. And they can't let these players kind of just go to other clubs and be huge successes. Everybody's kind of in and around for that player, which just makes your job difficult. But then I see that as success. If we get a kid in at 9 and he does move on to Premier League at whatever age, then we must be doing something right in terms of our infrastructure and coaching to kind of develop that player.
All right. We'll move on. I want to talk a bit about the, it's kind of linked, the Checker Trade Trophy, because I know this season there's been the controversial decision to allow under 21 sides in. What do you make of that? Do you think that was the right thing to do? Or?
That's a real difficult question. I think it's the right thing to do in terms of looking at our options to try and get competitive games for these players. Do I believe that the Checker Trade Trophy was the right way to do that? I'd probably say no. I just think something needs to be done, probably away from that in a lot bigger scale. I don't know how they're going to do that. But what you see now is you're seeing a lot of under 23 games that don't have the ferocity and fierceness that a league camp game has, or a non-league game, for example. You've seen a lot of players developing, but then almost getting to a stage where they need to kick on again, but they don't kick on. And as I said earlier on in the interview, that these conference clubs now are getting stronger because these players aren't developing into first team players, which is a real issue. And it's something that the FA have obviously looked in and tried to do something about through the Checker Trade Trophy, but you only have to look at attendances and crowds, and it's not really caught public's imagination. You're getting a lot of fans from the playing it. You're getting managers coming up and saying, I need to stress it. It's a really difficult one, you know. For these players to get better, they do need to change something. And they've been done in Checker Trade. Obviously, the game and attendance has been done, but they are within that English quality to try and promote it. The issue is bigger than that. And how you go about that, everybody has different opinions and views on it. But I do believe that something further down the line will need to be done.
No, I completely agree with you. I'll come on to the attendances in a minute, but I go and watch the Man United under-23s every now and then, not being far from there. And you watch the players, and they're very technically good, but it's, as you say, that ferocity. It's a completely different game to go in to watch, you know, a Football League game or something. But, yeah, I know some of the bigger teams, they're quite happy with it. And I know Man United and Arsenal's academies both say, in principle, they want to enter next year if it goes ahead.
I think it's sort of a really balanced argument, really. I mean, if I was a League One or League Two supporter of the club, I'd pretty go about it the way that the League Two supporters have gone about it, boycotting the games, or it wouldn't interest me at all. I wouldn't want to go and watch watch against funny enough, I wouldn't want to go watch Brighton under 21s play it's just I think it's the competition was already a bit of a joke, but I think it's made it even more worse for fans. And the one rule that really annoyed me is, I mean, with like your Luton Town, I mean, they want to bring for youngsters, but they're not even allowed to. They have to play a full strength team, and I mean, they got in trouble for playing too many youngsters in that competition. I mean, that's just a joke. And I mean, I did love the way Bradford tried to get around it, though, by substituting the goalkeeper after that. Two, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
To try and bend the rules. But I can see why they've done it. It's a good idea to try and, as you say, get the kids toughen up, so to speak. But then you're sort of sticking two fingers up to your fans, really, in a way. Because some fans will love it. They love it. It's a chance for them to go to Wembley. But they don't really want to go and watch games against them. No one seems to want to see a proper professional side game. But as you say, it's one of those things. Time will tell over the next 2 years if it's a success or not, in my opinion.
Just to clarify what you're saying, the rule is that teams from League One or Two must play five first-teamers.
I was going to say, yeah, I think Luton got fined for because Nathan Jones said he's going to pay the fine himself, sort of thing, because it was a joke that, yeah, I think they rested too many of their team. Because I think you have to keep a certain amount of players from the scene that you play on today.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
So I think it's a joke, personally. That rule.
It's very disappointing, though, the attendances. I was looking at them from last week, and 16 matches had less than 1,000 people there. One of them in particular, which caught my eye, Middlesbrough under-21s against Shrewsbury. Hardly the most exciting game, but 308 people watched that. And, you know, it's similar. Like, I could name loads of games where it's like 400, 500, 600 people. It's just it's terrible, really, the attendances.
Yeah, I just don't. If you're sort of a Tuesday night, strictly speaking, weeknight attendances usually are down anyway from the traditional Saturday games. But I mean, if you just have to look at it realistically, who really wants to go out in the cold and watch a sort of game, really? I mean, I don't know what the ticket prices are for those sort of games, but I mean, it doesn't really surprise me, to be honest.
Is it something that matters to you, the Chequer Trade Trophy, Matt, or is it something that's more of a, do you think it's a bit, just a bit of a distraction?
Oh, as I said, it's a really difficult issue because what you said there, and I agree 100% as a supporter, would you want to go out? Now, my biggest fear with the competition is what happens if two of these under 23 teams get to the final at Wembley? And how many will be there? will it get boycotted altogether? Will league clubs want to enter it next year? I just don't know where you go if that were to happen. I say we're in Norwich under 23. Would their fans go out and support them at Wembley? I just don't know where you stand on it. I 100% agree with what you said about. As a manager, you want to you see this game as an opportunity to give other players a game. Mm-hmm. But to get punished for not playing 6 years when you've got category one under 23s playing who are fresh, ready to go. I disagree with it. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I think it's as a manager, you sign these players and you said about them bigger squads. You carry bigger squads to give them game time. If then you're getting you're being restricted to by picking it.
Mm-hmm.
I have 3 or 4 kids doing the thing. You're putting up on the first team at the minute, but I can't get this chance. What an ideal scenario it is to get him in your team. And I've seen it in many games where these young players come in, do extremely well, I'll keep the players in the team, and that's on successful careers. You're almost, it's meant to be helped in development, and it's almost restricting to a certain extent for League One, League Two clubs, which is difficult. I mean, I've played in it numerous times, and we've done the same. I've played in games where a manager's 3 players up in the first 5 minutes just for that reason, to not have a fine, which just, for me, demeans the competition straight away. But the managers pick whatever teams want to put out and go for it. And certainly, I've had good times in the competitions. One of my best mates, Graham Lee, he got winner in final for Donegan, probably highlight of his career, and he'll tell you that. You almost get the competition starts, and you almost really, it's kind of, I won't say it's dismissed, because in the game you're playing, as soon as you go over that white line, you want to win, but it's not value and context over 3, but the later you go in the competition, you see Wembley, and you want to be there. Now, if you're going to get to the 23 teams there, well,
All right, we'll move on from the Chequered Trade Trophy. I just want to talk about one or two championship stories which have caught my eye. There was obviously no footballers, there was an international break. Ian Holloway has been appointed as QPR manager, so unfortunately we won't have him as a pundit on Sky Sports anymore.
Hooray!
What do you make of it? Good appointment?
Yeah, he's been all right. I think the appointment at Millwall when he was there, that was a disaster from start to finish. And blame it on really not him not taking a break. I mean, with a manager like Holloway is, he's sort of really high tempo, really jumping up, sort of that high tempo manager. And you sort of, I think with that, you sort of need to sort of take a break really from the game. And I think with Palace, to me, he rushed it too quickly, and then hence why the Millwall was just a complete disaster from start to finish. QPR, I mean, he's been out of the game for a while. He's been obviously watching a lot of Championship football. We see him on Sky, so he certainly knows the league. He knows QPR as a whole. Obviously, he's managed them before. It could work. To be fair, the appointment, as I say, he's done well in the Championship in the past at Blackpool and Crystal Palace. So it could work. I mean, QPR. I mean, they've got some good players there, and they can sort of suit Holloway's style of play as well. So that's the makings of being okay. I still feel a bit sorry for Mr. Frank, as I said on the show last week, that he wasn't given really enough time. But this appointment does have potential, in my opinion.
To be honest, I like Ian Holloway as a character, and I think it'll be great to have him back. Even if it's just to see his after match interviews, I think they'll be refreshing to see. And I think it's great that when you have characters in the game, it is unfortunate when any manager goes, but that just seems to be how the game is at the moment. You know, if the fans, the chairman, the sponsors demand results, and they'll have the target that they want to hit at the end of the season, if they feel like that they're all that, then unfortunately all managers know that you're probably never secure in this industry. So in terms of Hasselbank, it's disappointing, but I'm sure he probably wanted to get off to a better start than he has done. But, you know, it will happen, and it'll carry on happening. This seems to be, like, more and more managers are going, but I do think that Holloway and QPR are a good match for each other, a good fit, and the Championship's a ridiculously tough, relentless league. I think momentum's key in that league, and he'll be looking to do a quick start, and if you get back-to-back wins, you know, you shoot up the league, don't you? It's been seen by many teams. Obviously Newcastle are upright, they could run away with it. Brighton have had a fantastic start. Huddersfield, I've seen a couple of times, and Reading play a fantastic, adventurous football. But then, you know, you look down the league, and Fillers and Cardiff, obviously Neil Warnock's gone in there. Them to jump at Wolves, massive club. It's just a relentless league, and a momentum and is key, and if you get on a run, as you've seen with Newcastle and Brighton, it almost breeds confidence. When you've got that confidence, you know, you can just keep plowing on and plowing on. And I think it just starts off with a couple of wins, you know, that they could kick on, but you could say that probably about a whole load of clubs in that league.
What do you think of Sheffield Wednesday? Obviously, one of your former clubs, a 10th in the table at the moment. Do you think they can get playoffs or promotion?
Yeah, I do think they can. I'm not too sure about automatic now, it's probably early as that is, but I would expect them to be there or thereabouts with the squad of players they've got. I've seen quite a few of their games, and the games have been beaten in, arguably they've been the better team. I just think sometimes they've signed a hell of a lot of players, and I know the manager obviously likes a bit of rotation, sometimes added benefits, but sometimes added downfalls. I think last year's defence were very, very good. Looked like they're conceding quite a few goals this season. Going behind early in games, which is, we all know, stats on scoring first in Championship. You win a lot of your games doing that. And I think they've just not lost their way a little bit, but kind of the manager's still looking for that combination that's going to see him get a fixed team together. I mean, you look at Brighton, for example, there have not been that many changes to the squad. I know Newcastle have rested, but if you kind of got to take them out of the equation a little bit with the squad that they've got, probably best as that sounds. They pull a player out, they can put another player in. If Brighton pull knockout out or whatever, they might not be able to put somebody in a better quality. Or in Newcastle, with the squad that they got, can. And I would expect Sheffield Wednesday certainly to be in on the playoffs this season. But as I've just said, you know, the clubs who are looking to get in them four spots, let alone the two at the top. It's going to be a fascinating team. I think there's going to be many twists and turns, and you know, on any given day at this moment in time, I've got to believe that they're capable of beating teams on the day. And I think that just speaks volumes of the league, to be honest. It's a tough, grueling league that, you know, you could see top losing to bottom. And there's not many leagues around Europe where that had happened. And it's probably complement to the teams in the English league that everybody in that division is competitive.
There's been some bad news for Newcastle as well. Jonjo Shelvey might be banned for 5 games for apparently he racially abused a Wolves player, Roman Sice. It was only picked up after the game. Apparently his English isn't great, and yeah, that could be a big loss for Newcastle.
Well, there's not really an awful lot to say, really. I mean, fair enough. Yeah, well, being the band's fair enough, but yeah, you can't obviously go around doing that. And yeah, anything you could argue, maybe it's a bit. I don't know what the situation was, or if he's trying to deny it. But if it is, then maybe you could even argue that 5 games is a bit generous. Maybe it should be more. But no, it's one of those things you just certainly don't want to see anywhere near the game. And obviously the player deserves to be punished.
Okay. Well, he's got until the 16th to respond to the charge. He's not confirmed or denied yet. We'll move on to League One. First thing I want to mention some news which has come in tonight. Russell Slade, the Charlton boss, has been sacked. He became manager at the start of the season, and they lost 3-0 to Swindon. Do you think it was the right call, or do you think it's a bit unfair?
Well, I think the club's just in a complete mess, really. Russell Slade's superb League One manager. We've seen him when he's won 2 Manager of the Years. For in League One, he's obviously done great jobs in League One with Yeovil or in Brighton, and we've seen him didn't do ridiculously bad. Well, he did very well in my opinion at Cardiff. So he's obviously a superb manager, and if he can't get sort of Charlton sort of going, then it makes you wonder who sort of can really. So I do worry for that club. I really do. Who they're going to get in, I don't know. I haven't seen who's been with the job, but all I can stress is whoever does take over, they've got a heck of a job on their hands. I mean, as we touched on it before, in Matty's days at Mansfield, it's obviously the atmosphere there's not going to be obviously pleasant at all. They want the owners out. The owners don't. It's just not a club that people want to be at. But in that token, it is a massive club, and they don't deserve this chance supporters. They deserve to see good times again, but I think they're in a relegation of the season.
I'd agree with everything you just said. You know, Russell's obviously got a proven track record in that league. And for me, he should still be in his job, but as we've just been talking about, you know, once the difficulties are upstairs, it can affect things on the pitch in different varying ways. You know, obviously the player, I said earlier that you're trying to get your head down and get on with it, that it's kind of a bit of a snowball effect, and it's ridiculous. It's tough sometimes to stop. And you know, Charlton not long ago in Premier League, you know, mid table, now you look League One, you know, you look at obviously Portsmouth who've done it in League Two, but there's big massive clubs now kind of can't stop that momentum. And that seems to be the case, and you know, like you say, you do fear for Charlton, a big massive club like that, potentially, and I'm saying potentially at this moment because we're still there even, but going into League 2 would be a travesty for them.
I think with the whole of League 1, the whole tight table, it's incredible how tight it is, and for relegation, I know Michael Appleton said that Oxford United are in a relegation dogfight, they're 2 points clear, but you know, I think everyone's in a dogfight for every position in that league.
Well, yeah, you look at the title of the league. There's Rochdale, Wimbledon, Millwall, Northampton, all on 24 points, and then there are only two points above Walsall on 14th, and then there are only 2 points off Peterborough in 5th. So it's incredibly tight. It reminds me a bit of League Two at the end of last year, how tight that was. And it's what everyone wants to see, and it proves that we've touched on it countless times that if you get a good run of form going, especially around Christmas time, get a run of form going, you're in a promotion battle. And in that token, if you lose two or three on the bounce, then you're struggling to even to stay up in the division.
Mm-hmm. There was a few good results. Obviously, we've said Swindon have beat Charlton 3-0. Shrewsbury beating Oxford United 2-0, and that could be a big result for them. That gets them off the bottom of the table. Chesterfield now bottom of the table. They've lost 7 games in a row.
Yeah. I think it's, as I say again, there's some looking there, but Shrewsbury, yeah, big win for them at home to Oxford. And I think this could be maybe even a turning point in their season. They've just obviously appointed Paul Hurst as manager from Grimsby. I think it could be the start of their season going with a big win against as you said, started struggling. So I think that it's a massive win for them. Chesterfield, on the other hand, sort of a funny sort of season they've had, really. And I saw them play actually on Sunday against Sheffield United. They actually were knocking it around pretty well. And it makes you wonder whether they actually are in the league, whether it's a false league position or not. You do get that with clubs. But so it's, it surprised me, actually, where they are in the table, Chesterfield, especially in that first half. But then, so won that up after 2 minutes, knocking it around well, and then sort of just have the second half collapse, really. And going back to Shrewsbury, it's a big win for them, and it could even potentially be the start of the kicking them on.
The final result, I just want to mention a big win for Bradford beating Rochdale 4-0. Bradford got up to second, well, Bradford stayed second in the table, I should say, and Rochdale dropped right down to 11th, just one loss. But then on the other side, you've got a team like Peterborough who win a game. And they go up to 5th. It's crazy.
Well, with Bradford, I think this win is an absolute statement of intent that they're not only in it for promotion, but they're in it to win the league. I think this year, Bradford, that is a huge win. And full credit to Stuart McCall. We've joked around on the show saying that they only seem to win games 1-0, but that is a massive win against a good side in Rochdale as well. But to dismantle them 4-0 is a huge win. And as I say, I think they. I can't see any reason why Bradford can't even win the league altogether this year, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, just listening to what you said then, you know, you look at the bottom of the table and Chesterfield has a real struggle at this point in time, and the chairman's actually resigned tonight at the AGM, which again, you know, you talk about clubs kind of being in a struggle there, certainly one at this moment in time. I'm good friends with Paul Hurst at Shrewsbury. I think they will kick on. You know, a big admirer of him. He did an unbelievable job at Grimsby, considering the budget he had, etc. So you'd see them kicking back up, obviously looking down there. And NK Dons, another big club, you know, down there. Carl Robinson leaving and another manager coming in there. Swindon with Tim Shill going in. Coventry, you know, a massive club. But then you look at the top end and like you rightly just said, you know, Bradford, massive statement of intent there, being a good Rochdale team. I know, obviously, the league probably doesn't suggest that we're being mid-table at this moment in time, but I've seen them a couple of times. They're a good team. But I think the team, for me, probably as much as it pains me to say, it'll be Sheffield United this season. I think that the squad they've put together and kind of gone back to the roots. You know, you look at good Sheffield United teams with Dave Bassett and Miro. The Warnock, you know, kind of fans of the club, getting Chris Wilder, who's had success in this at Northampton recently, and to come in and is really at the ground running, got a squad together that is capable of winning this league, you know. Scunthorpe have been on an unbelievable run, and it won't be surprising to see those three in the running, but I'd probably say the Sheffield United, you know, the momentum they've got, it's gone a hell of a lot of goals at this moment in time. Look, solid at the back. You know, obviously Bolton and Peterborough are just outside that, and they're both clubs who Bolton certainly the massive club, and Peterborough have always kind of recruited good players. So again, it's going to be an interesting league. But for me, I fancy Sheffield United to go on and win that league this season. I think it's on top. I don't think they'll slip away. But I think we'll have a little bit of a sticky patch, and they've not really had one yet, have they? Like you said, Stuart McCall's getting tuned out of Bradford at the minute. That for me, I fancy Sheffield United in that league.
Okay, we'll go on to League Two. We'll move on to League Two. Blackpool beat Notts County 4-0, and the Notts County manager, John Sheridan, had a bit of a rant. He was saying it was the worst performance of his managerial career, and they wouldn't have beaten a pub team. They were totally inept, and they could have lost by 7 or 8 goals. He did say that Alan Smith did all right and showed a bit of fight. A terrible performance from Notts County, but obviously Blackpool, I'm sure, will be delighted with a 4-0 victory.
Yeah, full credit to the Blackpool players. I mean, it's obviously, we've been touching on about it, but it's such a hard time for them, the hard time as a football club, but they picked up some good results this year, and they're sitting in a nice position, ninth in the league. And full credit to Carl Vassell, 2 goals for him. He's been one who's been plugged out the non-league by Peterborough, but he's sort of struggled to find a club where he's been scoring goals at in the Football League since he moved from Bishop Stortford. But he's used to sort of be settled a bit at Blackpool, which is quite surprising, really. Credit to them, and the club was a young team at Blackpool, and full credit to them. I know evidently they did catch Notts County on a bad day, but look, they seem to be doing their jobs correctly. And so they're into the second round of the FA Cup, as we said last week as well. So fair play to them. And with John Sheridan's, I'm sure you're known John Sheridan, I think like most people do, he'll be kicking them all week along the training, I think, all week. And I think those Notts County players will be in for a tough week for them, and I'm sure he'll get them done on Saturday.
There was another 4-0 result, Portsmouth beating Mansfield. Portsmouth up to 4th, and Mansfield, obviously, they're down in 18th. But another managerial casualty tonight. Adam Murray's quit the club after 2 years in charge.
A difficult one that we had in money. I don't really know what's gone up there, because we've been picking up some decent results, haven't we? And if you look at the league table, another 18th at the minute, but one win, you know, pushing you up to like 5th, which is quite staggering, really. All the other teams aren't going to lose, but it just shows how tight the league is. I played with Adam as a young player when you felt. And he's a really nice guy, with him and Carl Orley there, who I played with at Notts County. And it seems to really have the club ticking, and kind of getting the club back on an even keel and a positive foot. And obviously, Paul Cox did a great job to get him back in the league, but then he seems to really have took it on a little bit. So I'm quite surprised with that one tonight. But there's something gone on behind the scenes that I won't be able to comment on that. But it just seems a really... It seems a really funny one, because it does look like it's been instigated from himself, the manager, which you don't really see much of now. I know it comes out generally, it's mutual agreement. So I was surprised when I saw that tonight. It's a shame, because I think it's good to see young managers, you know, being given an opportunity. I know we mourn about a lot of foreign coaches, etc., coming in. So when somebody who's a little bit younger gets an opportunity, who's probably not got the CV, or I know you see a lot of managers now kind of failing at a few clubs, but still being employed, to see a young coach slash manager come and kind of go into call it right time that we go our separate ways was really surprising for me tonight. And something more might come out next few days, I don't know. But now I was surprised as probably many a Mansfield fan today, because obviously, you haven't seen it. 2-year-old clubs in Mansfield were really good. When myself and my wife had some difficult times, obviously losing a little boy, you know, the support that the club gives us, I'll never forget. And you know, I always keep a close eye out for them. And you know, I'm disappointed that the manager's gone, but let's hope that they can get the right man in charge and try and shoot up this league, because as we've just been saying, how tight it is. It's phenomenal, really. You know, just how tight it is, really, from sitting down.
The only part of the table which isn't tight, really, is Plymouth, who've they've now got a 7-point lead because they beat Crewe 2-1 at the weekend. But their nearest challengers, Carlisle, the only unbeaten side in the Football League, suffered their first loss of the season, and that was 2-0 against Newport, and that's two wins in a row now for the bottom club.
Yeah, full credit to Graham Wesley. I think he's coming to a club that's really struggling. He took the job on, and he's really sort of getting his fist into the job really. That's a massive hit. Obviously, we said I mean that would have been on my interest with the odds were for that game. Unbeaten club playing a team that's rock bottom of the league, and you do get these funny results, sir. But big win for Newport, and full credit to Graham. I should say he seems to get he's got his teeth into the job now, and say a few more wins, and then look a bit more prettier for them. But keep Cole, great achievement again. Carlisle unbeaten for that long length of the season, but I think that could potentially be a blessing in disguise. As I say, last season we were unbeaten for a while, and then in the end you sort of you're focusing too much on being unbeaten. You actually end up going for the wins that are there for the taking, and then you end up dropping points. So it could be, if in their promotion push, it could be a potential blessing in disguise for Keith. But full credit to Graham Wesley, great win.
I guess reacting to that first loss as well, how you react is so important, because I guess mentally it'll absolutely, if you've not had that, you know, experience of losing for a long time, that can really, you know, affect you.
Yeah.
An entertaining game, Barnet against Grimsby. Omar Bogle scored twice and missed an injury time penalty. But I just want to wish the Barnsley boss Martin Allen well. He's missing. He's going to be away this weekend. He's having minor heart surgery.
Yeah, one of my favourite managers in the Football League, Martin Allen. Top bloke, and we all wish him well.
Is there anything you'd like to comment on League Two, Matt?
No, I think that, you know, you look at the top of that league, you know, Plymouth are a big, strong physical side who probably need that in League Two. The result, obviously, Graham West, unbelievable result, really, considering Carlisle's run of form. But then you look just below that, you know, Donny Rovers, not one of the Championship club, Portsmouth, not one of the Premier League club, not a good one. Get a decent forward, you know, Blackpool in there. Grimsby are doing unbelievably well. I said about Paul slipping to leave Grimsby Town 7th in that league. I think with the budget that they've got, is unbelievable. I do think that Donny, and I know Portsmouth will have massive expectations that are trying to get up from that league this season. And as I say, it's just ultra competitive, isn't it? You know, it's almost there's not many leagues like those 16,000 at Portsmouth, weren't there? There can't be many country leagues in the fourth or even the bottom tier. I know it's League Two, but I've had that crowd. It's just a big volume of life of English football is of an interest to the rest of the world, really, when you have that support for in your bottom league. Just shows just how passionate fans are and how they follow the club through thick and thin, really. Where, you know, you look at some of these Premier League teams out being disrespectful, you see fans mourning and groaning when they're not finishing 15th, 16th, and you look at like supporting the fans. And I know Man City a few years back, I remember playing Man City years and years back when, you know, the fans are still there, though, and they're in League One, a bit like Sheffield Wednesday. You like to see the fans have something to share about. And I said about Charlton earlier that Portsmouth as well, you know, you'd like them to get promoted as a neutral watching. Obviously, local to me, I'd like Donny to get back up in, from that league. It'd be great for the area, and, you know, you want to see a club like that do the best they can do. And ideally, for a Yorkshire like South South Yorkshire, it'd be nice to have my father and could stay up, you know, and Sheffield United come up, Bradford come up, you know, some fantastic derby stuff. For as well, because there's more Premier League football in and around this area at the minute, which is a massive shift. If you could get a club up and around that, it'd be fantastic for the area.
All right, just to finish the show, I just want to mention the October Manager and Player of the Month awards. I'll just go through them and then yeah, you can tell us if you agree with them or if there's anyone else. So for the Championship, Rafael Benitez won the Newcastle Manager, won Manager of the Month, winning 5 games, and Sonny Aluko of Fulham won Player of the Month. The other leagues, it was the same play. Same League One, Phil Parkinson and Zach Clough of Bolton, who won 6 successive games in October. And League Two, it was Keith Curl and Jason Kennedy, the Carlisle pair, who both won 5 successive games. Are there anyone else you'd like to have seen won it, or any other comments or anything?
No, I think they seem about fair enough to me. I think Rafa Benitez, he's obviously doing as expected really at Newcastle. In my opinion, still one of the best managers in the world. I think with Newcastle, it's just simply working out extremely well. Solly Aluko, well deserved as well. Say he's been on fire for Fulham this month, been a big player for them. And then obviously going down the leagues, Kitty Pearl, we said it, only unbeaten run. He's done a terrific job at Carlisle, and Jason Kennedy's been very good for them.
We said earlier, about Newcastle, I would agree again. That's arguably one of the best managers in the world, let alone in the Championship. It almost, it's unreal been there in the Championship. For him to, he's much deserves no part. Has had a fantastic month and has been playing really well, as have a lot of players in the Championship. Sometimes it's tough to pick that odd one player out. Into League One, Phil Parkinson's done a great job at Bolton. We've been on quite a lot tonight on about clubs being in free fall a little bit, and Bolton has certainly been one of the clubs like that. And he seems to have steadied the ship a little bit. Obviously left Bradford, but Bradford is still up there, which again speaks volume in terms of his management. Stuart McCall's took it on again, of course he has, but he's a top manager, he's been around a long time, and tremendous team. Bolton will be up there. Zach Clough, for me, I'll be lucky to keep him in January. I think he's a really, really good player. Now for a couple of seasons, played a lot of games for a young lad. It's no surprise for me whatsoever to see him perhaps move on in January. And into League Two, Keith Gales done a fantastic job. Again, at a club in Carlisle who a little for want of a down as early season promotion contenders, but he's done a fantastic job and come the end of the season, I'm sure that they'll be up there. So kind of well deserved. I'm sure there's one or two players feeling a bit unlucky as you do more time, but it is really difficult for these people to give out individual awards when you've got people doing really, really well in each and every league.
Yeah, my only disagreement, I'd have maybe had Gary Monk as the Championship Manager of the Month. But yeah, I think they're well deserved. All right, well, thanks for joining us tonight. You can follow us on Twitter at B2Footwear. You can also follow our guest, Matt Hamshaw. It's at Hamshaw on Twitter. I'll put the links in the description. It's good night from me, and good night from my guest tonight, Matt and Nick. Good night.
Cheers, thanks. Good night.